Well, I am surprised to be speaking to you this morning. Last week was my assignment, but Friday night I got a phone call from Pastor Corey. He said, I hate to do this. And so he's battling with bronchitis, and do keep him in your prayers as we worship the Lord together through this day. I want to go to Matthew's Gospel and chapter 12. It's page 689 and 690 in the Bible in the pew there. And so if you want to take that pew Bible, it's page 689 and page 690. Someone told me long ago, if you're ever asked to step in and don't have a lot of time to get ready, just talk about Jesus. And so that's what I want to do this morning. And so we'll read in Matthew chapter 12, beginning at verse 18, just through 21. Would you stand with me as we honor God's word today and look at it together? Matthew chapter 12, beginning at verse 18. Here is my servant whom I have chosen, the one I love, in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will proclaim justice to the nations. He will not quarrel or cry out. No one will hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out, till he leads justice to victory. In his name, the nations will put their hope. Heavenly Father, your word is absolutely amazing. It says that it is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing even bone and marrow. Father, this morning as we come to your word, we ask that you would just fill our hearts with a sense of awe and wonder at this wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus, that you have given to us, the one that you sent to be our substitute, the one who took our sins and our sorrows. And so, Father, we want to commit these moments to you and ask that you would be pleased to minister in the power of your Spirit to us as we look at Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. It's wonderful to worship, isn't it, when you start to sing those songs and think about the one that we are lifting up in praise, how marvelous it is that the Lord sort of lifts us as we lift his name. And in this text, I'm just going to primarily look at verse 20. And in this text, we see three pictures, three portraits of Jesus. And we're just going to walk through the verse together for a few moments this morning. And may our hearts just be drawn to him afresh and anew. As you think about life and so on, there are times when we know just what it is to be full and fresh, and times when we feel, oh, there's a sort of an emptiness and a dryness that comes along. And there are times when we feel, by the Lord's strength, adequate to face the challenges of our day. And times and circumstances when we feel inadequate to really minister into situations. And so as we just look this morning, may we be reminded again of the wonder and the adequacy of Jesus. He is sufficient. He is more than enough for us. Now, this text in Matthew is from Isaiah 42, verses 3 and 4. And it's interesting to see the scriptures that Jesus used. And so here is the Lord speaking, and he's speaking from Isaiah and chapter 42. And as we think just about verse 20, let me just look at the three things that it says. It says, a bruised reed he will not break. So Jesus will not break the bruised. This text is true in two ways. It is true of Jesus. He was bruised, but he didn't break. He went to finish all that the Father asked of him. Through the cross and the resurrection and his ascension again to glory. He was bruised for you and me, and he knows your trials and mine. And I get so blessed when I think about that. When something comes along that wants to knock you down, and you suddenly realize, this is not a surprise to you, Lord. You understand my trials. And wherever you may be sitting this morning, if you are facing trials and difficulties and some unanswered questions and needs, I just want to encourage you, as you look at this picture of Jesus, you begin to see that he doesn't do what the world does. Sometimes, you know, we feel as if we get kicked when we're dying. You ever heard that expression? Don't kick him when he's dying. Well, the Lord doesn't do that. You think about what this verse is saying. A bruised reed he will not break. Some versions say a bruised branch he will not break. And I think about that and think about what could have less strength than a little reed that's bruised and bent over, or a branch that's bruised and bent. There's no strength there, is there? And the world looks at something like that and says, well, let's just cut it off. Let's just remove it. And what I get so blessed about Jesus is no matter who it is or what they have done or how broken or bruised their life may be, the Lord never says, God. A bruised reed, he will not break it off. Now, there have been times in my life, perhaps in yours too, where I know there's no strength left in me. I'm just done. And sometimes I talk to people, and that's what they say. I remember taking my car in for a service one day, and there was a woman sitting in the place where I went to the counter, and she was just sitting there crying. I was handing my keys over to the guy, and he looked at me and said, go talk to her. She said, talk about things that get on top of you. I can't pay my rent. I'm kind of sick. I've been cut off from all kinds of things, and now the car's broken down, and it's going to cost $400 to fix it, and I'm just done, she said. Yeah. In our humanity, we end up that way, don't we, sometimes? And I said, let's go for a walk. And we walked around the block, and I remember saying to her, you know, there's a God in heaven, and there's a Savior who loves you. And this is not an accident that we're talking about these things. All of these things are fixable. And one by one, we begin to look at them. And we went back in there, and she went up to the counter, and she asked the man that owns that service place, would you be willing to give me a month to pay my bill? And he's looking at her and looking over her shoulder at me, and I'm saying, yes. And he's saying, okay. He said, you know, he told me in less than a month, she came in and she said, I came back to talk to you because I'm not sure I'm going to be able to do it in a month. And he said, you don't need to come back till your car needs a service again. Your bill has been paid. And she said, are you kidding me? Who paid it? He said, I can't tell you. And she said, well, that little man said, God would look after me. God does that, doesn't he? There are times when all things come to a crisis for us. But the Savior doesn't wash his hands of us in those difficult times. Those are the very times that we see he draws near. Let me give you a biblical illustration of this. Find in Luke's Gospel, chapter 13 and verses 10 through 17. So I'll just read them. On the Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, woman, you are set free from your infirmity. Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue ruler said to the people, there are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath. And the Lord answered him, hypocrites, doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox and donkey from the stall and lead it out and give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her? When he had said this, all his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with the wonderful things he was doing. Here's a lady who for 18 years has had this problem. Maybe I'm speaking to somebody this morning, and for a long time, you've carried a problem. My Bible tells me that she was bent by this spirit. And so many problems are from a spiritual source, you know. And I think about her. She didn't start out that way. She started out full and vibrant. But as this thing began to happen, she began to become bowed and bent. And life began to change because all that she could see was the earth and herself. Friends, we as people, as human beings, started out in a right relationship with God, upright before him. Sin came into this world, and immediately we were bent by it. Our eyes begin to focus on us and our needs and all the rest. And Jesus came, just as he did into that synagogue that day, to lift us up and to help us and to allow us to fix our eyes again on the one who loves us so powerfully, so wonderfully. You see, when Jesus looks at those needs and those concerns, he looks and he says, I can touch you. I can help you. And I get blessed just in thinking that he specializes in the wounded and the broken and the difficulties. I want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And verses 26 through 30. It says, brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. He chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Oh, the Lord doesn't choose to set his love on any of us because we're mighty or strong or wise or any of those things that are proclaimed here in 1 Corinthians 1. He knows all about our weaknesses, and he knows about those burdens that you carry. And this scripture in Matthew chapter 12 says, his desire is not to break you off, but to lift you up. Now, forgive me, because every once in a while, I get this thing on the inside that just says, that is such an amazing truth. And when it happens, I want to go, yes! Scared you, didn't I? Not many of us are mighty or strong, but Jesus loves you. He loves you. And no matter what it is that is itching in your heart in these days, he is so willing to take that burden as you roll it upon him. There's a second thing that this verse in Matthew 12 and verse 20, it says, a bruised reed he will not break. We've thought about that for a moment or two. A smoldering wick he will not snuff out is the second thing in this verse. He'll not extinguish that smoking wick. Sometimes the fire goes out. Oh, I'm tempted to pick on somebody, but I dare not do it. Okay. So I'll just pick on me. When first I came to know the Lord, you could not be in my company for 2 minutes without that I would talk about Jesus. But you know, we learn along the way that not everybody wants to hear. And sometimes it cools our jets. And sometimes it overcools our jets. What do you mean by that, Pastor? I mean that there are times where the flame isn't as strong as it once was. And the loving, passionate relationship between us and Jesus is less than it used to be. Oh, my friends, when you think about this portrait of Jesus, do you like being in a room with smoke? We had some dry ice last night, and so it looks a little bit like smoke. And I was reminded of when we did a Billy Graham crusade years ago, and White Hart came to sing, and they had that smoke pouring out around them as they sang. And this dear lady came up to me afterwards, and she said, John, is that holy smoke? It catches our throats, and it causes us to cough and so on. But we would say, snuff that. But when Jesus looks at your life and mine, when the flame has diminished and the smoke is just there, Jesus will not extinguish. He'll not put it out. He himself knew what it was to be quenched on the cross for you and me. But that didn't extinguish the flame of God's love. Because on the third day when he rose from the grave, oh, the flame burned brighter than ever. And as he poured his spirit into his disciples, oh, there was that loving passion that all should know and all should hear and come to that saving knowledge of Jesus. Smoke speaks to us about corruption. There's no heat in it. There's no light in it. It's just kind of dark and billowing. And the devil tells us lies. He tells us lies about ourselves and our circumstances. I was talking to someone yesterday, and they said to me, I wish I could get back to where I was with the Lord. I don't spend enough time in the Word. I don't pray like I should. You see, that flame has started to go out. And I said, how do you feel about that to this person? And he said, I hate myself. And I said, because you listen to the lies of the evil one. And he says to you, how could you be a Christian and be involved in the things that you're involved in? How could you be a Christian and not be filled with power and victory and all those things? And the story goes on and on like that. He tells us lies. And he tells us lies about our circumstances. He says, you'll never recover from that. You'll never get over that. You'll never get past that. That'll always be there. I'm so glad that we have a Savior who specializes not in snuffing things out, but in fanning the flame into life. If he won't put it out, what will he do with it? That Holy Spirit fire will return to that heart and to that life, and that smoke will disappear, and the light will burn as true and strong as it ever did. But human pride gets in our way sometimes. Now, I know it never happens at Heritage Alliance, okay? So I'm not picking on you. But me, well, there are times when I know I should really just come before the Lord. And for days I resist it. That's pride. Gets in the way. And unbelief holds us down. In Mark chapter 6, Jesus was in Nazareth, and it says this. It says he was amazed at their unbelief. Now, if Jesus was amazed at unbelief, it must be really something. But you see, there are many things that the Lord does, and we just immediately start to look for a rational explanation, because that's the culture that we live in, instead of giving God the glory for who he is and for what he can do. You know, sins of the flesh divert us from him and from his will, and we get all caught up in things. And sometimes I talk to people, and they say this to me, John, nobody knows. And I smile and say, somebody knows. He knows. Nothing is hidden from the Lord. Nothing. One of the first jobs I was asked to do when I was invited to join the Billy Graham team was to drive into the city of Edmonton and meet with a lady who had come to Christ over the television show where Mr. Graham had preached the gospel. And she had called in and prayed the sinner's prayer, and she wanted to meet with someone from the Billy Graham team. And so myself and a local pastor, we went. And we met with her in a restaurant. She was a lady who had needle marks in her neck, on her arms, and perhaps other places as well. And she sat there trembling in that restaurant, so fearful. And I remember her telling us the story of how she got involved in drugs and even prostitution and so on. And then, even shaking as she sat there, she said, but I feel different. Something happened when she asked Christ into her life. You see, he ignited that flame that nobody else can. He brought life out of that smoking darkness that she lived in. And I remember calling that pastor from time to time to discover that within a couple of years, this lady is, first of all, doing discipleship, then teaching Sunday school, then the Sunday school superintendent. Wow. A bruised reed he won't break off. A smoking wick he will not extinguish. These are the pictures that we see of Jesus as we look at this text that he read. Now, before I leave this thought, let me interfere. See, I know Pastor Corey will be back next week, and you won't have to put up with me. Okay. How is the flame this morning? Is it bright and passionate for Christ? Is he the focus and the center of your life? You see, revival is simply when we fall in love again with Jesus and we know what it is that he puts his arms around us and lifts us up. And it's Jesus and me. There's a third thing that the verse says. And I'll be quick because I know there's a game. And we don't want to miss lunch either because it's brilliant. The third thing that the verse speaks about is it says, till he leads justice to victory. Jesus will bring justice to victory. I am grateful this morning, are you not, that our lives don't rest on the powers of this earth? Our failures need not punish us more and more? This is the glory of walking with Christ. Those things that have been wrong, when he forgives them, we are on a brand new sheet. And our injustices and offensive wounds need not disqualify us. Have you ever heard the saying, I don't go to church, the church hurt me. I'm not going in there, there's just a bunch of hypocrites. Yeah, we hear it, don't we? Maybe you too know what it is to be offended by someone who's a believer. I could say that. And maybe there are times when I have offended others. In fact, I know there are many. But Jesus is the one who leads justice to victory. He'll bring justice to victory. In Galatians chapter 5, in verses 24 and 25, we read these words. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Jesus took our sin and our shame to the cross. And he cannot be overcome by evil or by failure. And this is why, as I said to the young people last night, we so often need a second trip to the cross to say to the Lord, I want to live in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit and not give in to the things of the flesh and the way of my sinful nature. When we allow him to deal with those issues of the flesh, he brings justice to victory. Many, many years ago, I was pastoring a little fledgling church, and a man who had been pastoring a very large church drove to see me, and he said, in a day or two, you're going to see my name on the news, and I'm coming to put myself under your care. He was accused of moral wrongdoing with some children who were in his care. And for 18 months, the media massacred him. He had resigned from the church and so on. And if you were to look at that, you would say, well, that's the end of the road. When his case came to trial, in less than 20 minutes, the judge said, all of these allegations are completely unfounded. This is conflicting. This evidence doesn't even make sense or add up. Case dismissed. You see, there are times when we need to know that Jesus will bring justice to victory. He went on to come back to a pastorate and to serve the Lord, and has done ever since, may possibly be retired now. You see, the things that we hold on to sometimes are just because of the flesh. And we need to be able to set them down and to say to the Lord, I'm going to trust you. This is not right. It's not fair. But I'm going to trust you because your word says you will bring justice to victory. Maybe I'm speaking to someone this morning and you're struggling with some of those offensive things that have happened or been said to you. Friend of mine, do not carry them. Bring them this morning to the cross. Let me conclude. Are you trusting Christ this morning for salvation? If not, make this your moment to say, I want this kind of love. This kind of love that says, you may be bruised, but I'll never break you off. I'll hold you and heal you. This kind of love that says, you might have lost the flame, but I'll never snuff it out. I'll bring it back into all its fullness. This kind of love that says, you might have been hurt and damaged and severely distressed, but I will bring justice. You know, if I had a dollar for everybody who offended me in life, I would be so rich. And there are times when I've said, Lord, it's just not fair. And then the Lord reminds me, it's not over yet. We come to stand before Him, don't we? This love that goes beyond all of those things. Do you still have a passion for His word and prayer? In His love, Jesus has something more for you. If you will take the moment this morning and just come to Him. In a moment, our worship team is going to come back as I pray, and we're going to sing, Coming Back to the Heart of Worship. Might this not be a moment where as we pray, you could say, Lord, I want to come back to that kind of love. That kind of love that doesn't break me off and cast me aside. That kind of love that brings the flame of life into all its fullness. That kind of love that gives justice and victory. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this verse and for the portrait that it shows us of Jesus, the one who loves us and who gave himself for us. The one who invites us to know that he can heal our bruises. The one who speaks to us today to say, I'll fan that flame to make it burn so much brighter. Don't sit in the ashes. Come to the Savior who loves you. The one who says, I know about all those injustices, trust me. I'll bring justice to victory. Oh, Heavenly Father, would you continue to stir our hearts today? And would you grant us grace as we are paused at your throne? Lord, you have given such love and such grace and such mercy. And you've allowed us the freedom to meet here today and to lift your name. And now, Lord God, would you hear the cry of our hearts and bring healing to those areas that only you can touch. Bring your help and strength into those weak areas of our lives. Bring, Father, your justice. And we'll be careful to give you and you alone the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.